It is while reading Psalm 51 that one begins to take in the wide-reaching effects of David's sin. We may even think of the wide-reaching effects of our own sins. But first and foremost, we must consider David. And you may feel that altogether, looking into history, looking into the life of David, that David sinned in four ways. For one thing, most importantly, David offended against the Lord in the matter of Bathsheba, the thing that David had done. Remember, the Bible says, the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So, first and foremost, when David fell into sin and a snare, he offended the Lord. The next thing I want you to notice is David sinned against himself. He did himself wrong when he offended the Lord. And now, as he writes this psalm, he has a dreadful fear on him that he may soon be a castaway. The Lord may take away from him his Holy Spirit. And this is a fearful thing. Somebody may say, but David was saved, and the Holy Spirit could not be taken away from one who's saved. We must be clear about this. When we talk about God's presence, or if we pray for God's presence, we're talking about God's manifested presence, the evidence of God's nearness, the evidence of God's grace. And when we think then of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the evidence of the presence of the Lord, the abundance of blessing, the river of good that flows in full spate when the Lord starts to use His Word in the life of the believer. And there is a danger David feels. Now, it's a very real danger that the Lord might cast him away and take His Holy Spirit from him. He sinned against himself. He did wrong to himself when he failed the Lord. And the third thing I want you to notice is that David set up a stumbling block for sinners when he offended the Lord. For didn't the prophet say to him, by this thing you have caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You have actually brought the name of the Lord into disrepute before the ungodly. And those who hate the Lord will slander the Lord and will use your name as well as an excuse and as a matter of condemnation. So when David sinned, he not only offended against God, he not only did wrong to himself, but he offended against the ungodly, and he made the ungodly sneer at the name of the Lord. And there's a fourth way in which David sinned. He sinned against the city where he lived, for the city would soon suffer the horror and the desolation of war on account of the wrong David had done. Many, many of the population in Jerusalem would be injured. Large numbers would be killed. And this tragedy occurs largely because of David's own sin at this time. Now I want you to look at the psalm. The psalm here falls into four parts. And let us observe, first of all, verses 1 to 9. And the subject there in the main is that David has sinned against God. If we take verse 4 as a selection, look at the words there. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned. Oh, there are four ways in which the effects of David's sin can be observed. That's true. But first and foremost, he has sinned against the Lord. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So he prayed about his sin against God in verses 1 to 9. Then if you look at verses 10 to 12, he's recognizing that he has sinned against himself. And thus he prays about himself, principally in verses 10 to 12. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away, Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. So he recognized he had sinned against himself, against his own soul. And so he says, Lord, my heart is unclean by sin. Create in me a clean heart. My spirit has not been right. I have dilly-dallied with sin. I have acted shamefully. I have fallen into the devil's snare. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me a right attitude. Give me a right spirit, even from this time. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I need thy mercy, Lord. Oh, this is some prayer. Then remember what we said about the ungodly. Well, look at verse 13 on to 17. And there he's praying about his sin against the ungodly. And here he prays about sinners. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. When he mentions transgressors, he's surely talking about the worst of men whom he knew personally. Transgressors, he calls them. They're wild men. They're ungodly men. And David prays for the ungodly that the Lord might have mercy on them. And some of these ungodly people have come up against a stumbling block because of the way David had lived and the shameful thing that he did. I wouldn't doubt but that there may be one individual here in this service, and you have dragged the name of the Lord Jesus into the gutter of the world and sin. And you have done that which is wrong and hurtful and vexing to your own soul. You have let the Lord down. You have let the Lord down. And the ungodly have picked it up. It can't be hidden from them. The ungodly have called your number. They know your name. And David thinks about the ungodly, even the sinner and the transgressor. You need to think about the transgressor yourself. And don't go in the same way as they're going. And look lastly, verse 18 and 19. What about the city? That was the fourth thing we had mentioned, Jerusalem. But he says in verse 18, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Lord, have mercy on the city. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. This is his prayer there. If the Lord builds the walls of Jerusalem, it'll be well defended in the time of battle. So his prayer is about Zion, and his petition before God is, Lord, put the walls up now before the armies come, before the battle rages, before hearts are broken and people are killed and tragedy occurs in every street. Oh, what are we to say about Ulster? Could it be somehow that the sins of God's people have brought about the tragedies in our land? I don't want to say that altogether, but it could be that there is some relationship, and even if there was only a very slight relationship between the sins of God's saints and the afflictions of this land, that would be enough in itself to make us cry to God through every line of this penitential psalm. I'm looking at the third part today, beginning at verse 13 and on to 15. With special emphasis on verse 15, Lord, open thou my lips. And if you notice what has gone before, how in verse 10 and 11 and 12, David has said, Lord, give me a new heart, a clean heart, give me a new spirit, and give me the joy of thy salvation back again. Then you'll see before ever you can say a word for the Lord. You have to live right. You have to straighten out your life in every sense. You must have the joy of God restored to your soul, the Holy Spirit upholding you as you seek to witness for the Lord. He says here in verse 15, Lord, open thou my lips. And there is no question about it. If the Lord opens your lips, if he opens your lips tomorrow, you'll have the Lord's message to bring. I couldn't imagine the Lord opening your mouth without you having some good thing to say. It would just be an impossibility. So if the Lord opens your mouth, or if he opens my lips, there's bound to be a good response. There's bound to be a good message there, and it has to be prompted by the Lord. That's the important thing. If the Lord opens my lips, then He'll prompt me. Every word that I say, He'll be prompting me and guiding me. And this holds good for general conversation. Before you talk today at the dinner table, will you say, "Lord, open Thou my lips," and you'll have a better conversation. If tomorrow in work there's a casual talk between you and somebody else, if the Lord opens your lips before you make that remark, your words will minister good to those who hear. If the Lord opens your lips when you pray, oh, how powerfully you'll address the throne of grace. If the Lord opens your lips when you sing, and this is the thought here, "My mouth shall show forth Thy praise." If the Lord opens your lips, oh, what a joy there'll be. What triumph, what exuberance in the singing of God's people when the Lord opens their lips. He opens your lips then. He can do this, as I have said, in general conversation. He can do it in prayer. He can do it in praise. And He can certainly do it in witnessing. When you have a word to say to somebody who is ungodly, you should say, when you have guidance to think about, and even if it's a sensitive conversation that you have to talk to somebody concerning a matter that is difficult or even sensitive, you could say, "Lord, open Thou my lips," before you ever say a word. I don't know how many times I have had to say, when a person has come to address me, "Here's a matter that I want to bring to your attention." I don't know how many times I said the equivalent of what there is in verse 15. "Lord, give me wisdom here. Give me the right word to say." It's never appropriate for you to say something that's hurtful, something that's unhelpful. It's even worse if you were to say something that isn't true. And if the Lord opens your lips, be absolutely clear about this. What you say will be sound. What you say will be helpful. And what you say will be fruitful. Undoubtedly, what you say will be used of God. So the Lord can answer this prayer, "Open Thou my lips." I want everybody to pray this prayer. I'm glad you have come today to the house of God, and I want you to pray this prayer as long as you live. "Lord, open Thou my lips," and there will be an abundant answer. It's the kind of prayer God will be pleased to answer. I know, for He has answered this prayer for me on countless occasions. And if this is your petition, other petitions will follow automatically. I just want you to look at the book of Job. Job chapter 33. Let's all turn up to this passage. We'll come back to the psalm in a moment. But Job chapter 33. What I'm saying is, if we start off with that prayer, "Lord, open Thou my lips. Open Thou my lips," and you'll give thought to that, then other prayers will automatically follow. Let's see what sort of prayers will automatically follow on Psalm 51 and 15. Job 33. Verse 16. Chapter 33. Look it up in your Bible and mark the verse 16. "Then He openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction." He openeth the ears of men. The psalmist prayed, and we mentioned this last Lord's Day, "Make me to hear." We have a trouble about hearing. Oh, the ear is working all right, but it doesn't get through to the heart. You know how many times the Lord has spoken to you personally. How often the Lord has searched through your heart. He has searched you through and through. You have felt the impact of God's Word. And yet, outside, or the next day, or the following week, it was as if you never heard a thing. This is why Psalm 51 and 8 says, "Make me to hear."
You have to pray that, make me to hear. It's not only a question of the Lord opening up your lips, but He must open your ear that you may get instruction. Do you see the word instruction there in the verse? This is the purpose of it all, that the Lord might open your ear in order that you may receive instruction from on high. You may get instruction from God. I tell you, you will do the wrong thing. You'll tumble into that snare. You'll start running with the ungodly before you know where you are if you have not begun to do it already. You're running, tripping along with the ungodly. Perhaps this is the case. And if it's so, you need to say, Lord, open my ear that I may listen and listen well and get instruction from God. Just turn over the page, chapter 36 of the book of Job. Chapter 36. See how close these references are together. Chapter 36 and verse 10. What does it say there? He openeth also their ear. Oh, the Lord has to open your ear and my ear. For the fact is, while we think we listen, oh yes, we know what the preacher's saying, all right. But it's not registering. Not getting home. And in this case, I want you to pick up on the word discipline. Isn't this a remarkable verse when you consider it? He openeth also their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. So the Lord says, that's enough. Don't be running along with the devil. Don't follow the world. Don't be tripping after the ungodly. Don't be dilly-dallying with sin and shame. The Lord commands you to turn away from iniquity. That's an order. That is surely clear enough. You've got God's command. You have no business then doing truck with the devil. But what I want to emphasize is the opening of the ear. He openeth their ear to discipline. Very often, when the chastening stroke of God falls upon the heart of the Christian, he does not hear the rod as he should. The troubles come, the tears flow, the heart may break, the pressures certainly increase, but the child of God is not learning anything. He doesn't learn from the discipline of life. And maybe of late the Lord has been using the rod. Oh, the sad thing is, the Lord could use the rod and we don't notice it. Make me to hear. Let's hear the rod. That's what we have by way of command in the minor prophets. We should hear the rod in Him who has appointed it. You know why the word hear? You feel the rod. You don't hear it. Well, maybe you do if it's sharp enough. I remember back to the old school days that those of you who are younger never remembered. And that is when the rod was used. And some hardy fellows seemed to take a delight. And I think of one who could hold out his hand and smile. Now, when he did that to a male teacher, this man took that as a challenge, and he did. And he didn't like a smile. And it was a big, wide smile, a huge grin. And he stood up and held out his hands and grinned at the class. It was a remarkable thing. And the master then, getting angry, really said to himself, well, I'll teach you. And lashed in with the greatest energy that he had. But, well, this was an unusual character. He still smiled. And he never lost the smile, though it must have been really wild. And you could hear the whack of that stick as it came down across the palm of his hand. There were times too when he just made his hand jump out of the way and the rod came down into thin air. But I say this to you. You don't ordinarily hear the rod. But that's the language God uses, because the meaning is we should hear the discipline. He openeth their ear to discipline. Is the Lord sending discipline to you and you have no ear for it? You might even want to rebel. You may say, why is the Lord allowing this to happen to me? We don't know God's way, and we don't know the reason why circumstances are the way they are. But I tell you, we need an ear for discipline. You and I need this. He openeth their ear. Don't we need to hear God and hear the rod and have our ear open to discipline? Notice chapter 40 of the book of Psalms, the 40th Psalm. If you turn to the 40th Psalm and verse 6, the middle of the verse 6 in Psalm 40, "Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. I delight to do thy will." This is what the scripture says, "I have come to do thy will, O God. Mine ear hast thou opened." Oh, the Lord has to open the ear in order to induce obedience. It is true, the Lord speaks again and again, even to His saints, and there's no hearing. Especially now in these days. In these days, there's no hearing. Oh, we look intelligent, and we're intelligent enough about other things. We can certainly take in what is being said, but the heart, somehow, doesn't retain it. It doesn't register in the soul. We're not hearing. He openeth their ear to discipline. Here in the Psalm 40, it is, "Mine ears hast thou opened." And this is why, in the verses following, it says, "Lo, I come. I come to do thy will, O God." We can't obey. We can't come with obedience. We can't come to God as we should unless the Lord opens the ear that we may hear the voice of God and know for certain this is the Lord. This is God's voice. This is the Lord dealing with my soul. Oh, pray before ever your lips are touched. Lord, open my ear. This is a scriptural thing. Isaiah 50. I'm maybe giving you more verses than I normally would, but I'm doing this to show you how the thought runs here and there through the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 50, there is a marvelous verse. In verses 4 and 5, Isaiah 50, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned." There's the opening of the lips. "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned." Isaiah 50. Turn it up, because this verse 4 is really a marvelous verse, although I want to add the verse following to it. And it would be a good thing for you to mark every line in your own Bible. Take a coloring pencil and mark in the verses 4 and 5. "The Lord God hath given me," hath given me. The Lord can give you the word. He can give you the right message. Praise His name. The Lord can give you the word. He can open your lips. "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how." Isn't that what we want to know? How to speak? Don't you want to know how to speak? How to talk to those who are smitten with grief? How to talk to those who are in difficulty? How to talk to those who have no answer? How to minister? How to say just the right thing? Oh, I tell you, we need wisdom from God in this thing. And He says, "The Lord give me that tongue. The Lord just give me the right word." And I wouldn't doubt it. But there are Christians here by the score who are saying, there are times, let me tell you, when I prayed and I had a difficulty in a matter that I had to deal with, and the Lord just opened my mouth and He gave me the very message I needed. He gave me the tongue of the learned. Well, if the Lord has done that for you in the past, He can do it for you every time. "The Lord hath given me." He didn't have it Himself. This is Isaiah, the prophet, talking. The prophet didn't have the gift himself. The prophet didn't have the answer himself. We think often of the prophets as extraordinary men. But the prophet says, "It was the Lord who gave me. He gave me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak, how to answer." That I should know how to speak. Well, if you've got a word to say for the Lord this afternoon, don't you think you should say, "Lord, give me the tongue of the learned, that I will know how to speak"? You have a visitation to do. You have to speak to that soul who's in need, someone who's ill, someone who's in sorrow, someone who's in a dilemma. You're a child of God. You can pray. You have a promise here. You have directions from above. You can say, "Lord, give me the tongue of the learned, for I haven't got it."
I haven't got it. How often the Christian, when trouble comes, is likely to say the wrong thing. And I know I said at least once a long time ago in this church, if you're in trouble sometime and your heart is breaking, just remember to have some sympathy for Christians, for Christian people. When they meet you, are going to say the wrong thing to you. They're going to say the wrong thing because they speak of the top of their head. They don't pray first. They don't cry to God about the words they use. They simply come out with a thing that they feel they should say or the words that come to mind. And oftentimes, they are terrible words. I'm not suggesting they're profane. No, they're not profane. They're words about the Lord, but the advice is horrible. That's what I mean. The advice is dreadful. And they haven't had the tongue of the learned. I have heard reports from America, and it may well apply to this country too, of pastors who have said dreadful, really dreadful things when trying to give counsel and minister to those who are in difficulty. And they have really said dreadful things. They were right off the rails. They were as hopelessly wrong as any could be. Dear, help the people. If we don't get a tongue from God, if we don't get an answer from God, I tell you, we have a difficulty. It was the psalmist who said, "Open thou my lips." Maybe now you're beginning to see and feel the importance of that very prayer. And before the lips can be opened, the ear will have to be dealt with. And let's read on. "I will know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." And you got the word in season. Just the right word at the right time. That's a marvelous thing. That's why I started off by saying, this is really a marvelous verse. And so it is. In every line of it, there is counsel for you. Maybe already you've switched off. The devil doesn't want you to hear God's word. Maybe you should say, "Lord, make me hear. Make me take it in. Make me understand it. If ever there was something I should get a hold of, Lord, help me even against myself. Help me to understand it. Help me to take it in. Help me to have this in my heart. I pray. Open my ear to the truth of God, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." He wakeneth, notice this, he wakeneth morning by morning. Why, the Lord could waken you up early in the morning before the day really begins with a word from heaven. You should start with your Bible. Start with your Bible every day. There are Christian people here who don't read the Word of God on given days, who ignore the Bible, and therefore they don't even start the day with the Bible. They don't start the day with God. What a dreadful thing that is. He wakeneth morning by morning. If you would have the Lord give you the tongue of the learned, that you may know how to speak, and how to speak a word in season, and how to speak a word in season to him that is weary, then follow this counsel. He wakeneth morning by morning. I think you have to start the morning. If you would speak as the learned in the evening when men are weary with the day's work, then you must have the ear of the learned as well as the tongue of the learned. You must have the ear of the Lord in the morning. He wakeneth morning by morning. Wouldn't it be lovely for the Lord to waken you up in the morning and to say, sitting down in your bed, "I have a word for you today." Beautiful. You'll have a better day. It may be the first day back at work. You could relish that. On the other hand, you could say, "Well, I'm not really looking forward to it. Could be the first day back." Well, I'll tell you something. I have good news for you. It would be a wonderful, a truly wonderful thing in the morning if the Lord were to waken you up with a word from Himself, a word from the Bible, a word for Monday. If you had a word from God before you started out, you would start with blessing. You would start on a high road. He wakeneth morning by morning. Ask the Lord to do that.
You may not be a morning person. Well, but you can still say, Lord, waken me up in the morning with a word from heaven. It would be better for you to waken up with a word from God than to waken up with a sense of depression, a sense of sorrow and loss and desolation gripping your soul. There are people who, the very instant they waken, there's horror in their heart. The desolations of the day have already set in. This is no mistake. This is absolute truth. Maybe it doesn't apply to the young. It certainly applies to those who are older. Although I have heard young people say something they never should have said, I'm bored. If you're a Christian, you'll never be bored. If you're a Christian in the right place with God, you'll never be bored. There's something wrong. But I can say to you, there are those who are older, and when the day starts with a sense of desolation or fear or loss, or even despair. That's how the devil will start the day for you if you're not careful. It's a far, far better thing for the Lord to waken you up. The Lord will never send depression. The Lord will never send misery. He's not the author of wretchedness and destitution. But the Lord will waken you up with good news. Put you in a good frame for the day. This is the answer. This is what we need. He wakeneth mine ear. Do you see that? He wakens my ear. We might have thought, well, he wakened my slumbering frame. That's the way we would put it. He wakened my slumbering frame. You don't normally talk about wakening somebody's ear. You may talk about a flea in the ear or a bee in the bonnet. We have different expressions. But I say, here's an unusual thing. He wakeneth mine ear. And that means simply this. He gives me a consciousness just as I start the day, as I begin to open my eyes. He gives me an awareness already that He's there. He's there. Hallelujah. The Lord's there with a message. The Lord is there with a word for your soul for the beginning of the day. Did you get a word from God this morning? Did the Lord waken you? Did He waken you in the manner that is described in Isaiah 50 and verse 4? Wakening you morning by morning. Wakening your ear to hear. Do you see that? Wakening your ear to hear. That's the thing. To hear as the learned. Now verse 5. The Lord God hath done what? What is it in verse 5? The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. There was no turning back. When the Lord opened my ear, gave me the tongue of the learned, I was not rebellious. Oh, you're playing the fool if you start digging in the heel. You're playing the fool because it's the Lord you're dealing with. The Lord never gave wrong counsel yet to any soul. You could be 10 years of age. You could be 12. You could be 14. You could be 18. You could be 20. The Lord never gave anybody bad counsel. And I tell you, if you cry to God, Lord, waken my ear to hear as the learned, let me pick up sense from God. Let me get counsel from heaven. If the Lord opens your ear, don't ever think of being rebellious. Ah, that streak of sin is there, that rebellion. It's a miserable thing. It'll ruin your life. There are many things to say. I know for a fact that if a man says, starting out in prayer, Lord, open my lips, the Lord will say something more to him. The Lord will say to him, well, I have to do something before that, you see. Before I open your lips, I have to do something else. I have to touch that ear. I have to open your ears. There was a man in the Bible. He was deaf. The Lord touched his ears. The Lord opened his ears. From that moment on, he heard. He had a new life altogether. I want the Lord to touch my hearing. He wakeneth mine ear to hear. Are you listening? Is the Lord speaking to you? Have you been benefiting from the Word of God? Have you been saying, Lord, open my lips? And did you find out the Lord had something else to say before he would do that for you? He would open up your ear. He would let you say, this is what I want you to learn. I want you to hear the Word. I want you to obey. I want you to answer. Some of you are not saved. Oh, here and there in the congregation, there are those who don't know the Lord. I think you should say today, Lord, make me hear. Open my ears. Because faith in Christ cometh by hearing. That's how you get saved. If we're talking about the first step on the road to heaven, it has to do with the hearing. And there are times, if I can say this to you, let me come very near to you now, young person. There are times when you sat there in that seat, the preacher might as well not have spoken. Now, he didn't say bad things. Now, I hope he wasn't dreary or disappointing. But he didn't miss the message. You did. You should say, Lord, open my ear. Waken my ear to hear. In the morning, every day, let me hear a word from God. And in the context of salvation, where the work of salvation begins by hearing, you've got to hear God's word. And that means, and I've often said this, go to every mission. Every mission, at least, that we'll support and announce. Because we're going to announce those missions that are on good lines. And so we're saying, get there and hear the word. Faith cometh. Salvation cometh by hearing. By really hearing. Hearing with the understanding. Getting a hold of it. Getting a hold of God's word. He openeth mine ear.